Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Some exchange betting companies run short-lived promotions, like month-long offers of low commission. At BetDAC, we wanted to change the way we did things, so we set our commission at 2% permanently. That's 2% on football, horse racing, golf, almost any sport. 2%. That's just one way that BetDAC is changing for the better. For the better. Like you. BetDAC, the 2% commission exchange.
Over 18s only, please gamble responsibly. Sunderland drew yesterday with Scunthorpe 1-1, and as a fan base, we are all in frustrations. That doesn't even make sense. We're all frustrated. That's what I'm trying to say.
We're in the throes of frustration.
Yeah, there we are.
Nice word.
Yeah, fuck the startup, but I'm just going to leave it in. Why not, roll?
Why not?
Yeah. It's going to be live, uncut. Yeah, we've got a podcast debut.
We do.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name's Josh, and I've been brought in for quite a humorous reason. If you want to explain to the people.
You can do that. That can be your debut shot.
Well, yeah, he's been... is it Johnny? Stuck in the disabled toilets. So it's quite an introduction to Roker Report for me.
Yeah.
To see what you guys get up to on a Sunday evening.
Johnny was number one. I mean, I think really we have to dissect this a little bit more.
This needs a further
analysis. Sunday evening.
Yeah.
It was about 4:30, roughly,
yes,
when he rang. To say it was locked. And the university is empty. There is literally about 10 people in the building. So why did he feel the need to go into a disabled toilet when there is a perfectly functioning, regular toilet next door?
The guy likes his privacy.
Yeah. I know, but like, what?
You can go too far.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. On a Monday, I was saying this before, on a Monday morning, if I get into work and, you know, I can't be bothered with the hustle and bustle of the cubicles, I could go in the disabled toilet. I'm happy to do that. But on a Sunday, there's nobody there. Why would you?
No.
So,
no. We'll have to ask him.
In the year 2022, when Johnny's finally released from his from his disabled Lou prison, then we will
we'll do a podcast on that.
Yeah. We'll interview him. It'll
we'll
be like what's that film where the guy gets stuck on the mountain and has to cut his own arm off?
Oh, 127 hours.
Yeah. That we'll do that with Johnny. We'll interview him.
It's gonna be documentaries on Johnny, stuck in the disabled Lou, and he's gonna talk about his experiences.
Yeah. It's a big Hollywood deal.
Yeah, it's gonna be all all overgrown and unruly, like big ragged beard and these like sort of. He's like 1,000-yard stare eyes. It'll be.
But the thing is, I mean, he's got water in there. He's got a toilet in there as well.
Yep.
The only issue is, I mean, hopefully, if he blocked the toilet, then he'll have some issues.
Yeah.
Don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
The hygiene wouldn't be great.
No. I reckon he'll descend quite rapidly into savagery if that loo gets blocked up. Like.
Starts fancying the sink.
Yeah. Connor Bromley in Animal Farm last week. Now I've got Johnny Goldsmith in Lord of the Flies. He's just gonna like
the poor lad. I'm expecting him to like break out there, like his hair pulled out.
Because
I mean, imagine if he had to spend the night. I suppose he wouldn't. They'd ring the fire brigade, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But what an embarrassing story, though.
And we've just told
to get
everyone.
The fire brigade.
I imagine what's going to happen is tonight he's going to message that. I hope you didn't mention the.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to official matters here. So, firstly, BetDAC sponsorship. There were 4 winners for the score prediction competition, which were at Chris Ditch, at Keith SCFC 1980, Callum Bradfield, and Neil Macbeth. It's good seeing him, that.
Yeah,
it's good seeing him.
Called Beth, so that's nice. Glad
well
Neil won.
So I quite like the Shakespearean novel. So, you know. Oh, is it a play? I don't recall.
It is a play.
Yes, it is a play. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It is. Go literature.
Yeah.
But actually, not literature, because it's a play, is it? Mm-hmm. So, would it count as literature?
Yeah, I think it counts. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here on Roker Report, the actual game itself is the third most important aspect behind Johnny being in the loo in classical literature.
Yeah, Johnny's locked, though.
Like, yeah.
He's basically, he's in, what's the word? When in prison, they put you in there when you be naughty. Solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement.
He's in solitary. Yeah. That's it. So anyway, them four, they won a chance to sit in the box for our game on Tuesday against Manchester City Resies.
Very nice.
So
very
good for them. It's a nice experience. Right, to the game. Anyway, Sunderland lined up. And I love it when you do the match report, Alex, because you write down the start 11 so I don't have to type it out myself.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. So McLaughlin, Nets, Reece James, left back. Jimmy Dunn making his debut with Tom Flanagan at centre back. Luke O'Neill at right back. Max Power and Lee Cattermole, centre mid. Cattermole was captain. Then Gooch, McGeady, Chris Maguire, and Josh Madger in that front four, which is reasonably fluid. Mm-hmm. First half was rubbish, to be honest.
Oh, the first half was dire.
Yeah, really poor. But some of them were comfortable. I think in open play, they were always going to score set pieces. They looked weak. Mm. But we'll talk about that in depth, the set piece rose. But just before the hour, we took the lead through Josh Madger. Good finish, good goal.
Mm-hmm.
Good goal around. We'll miss him if he goes. Mm. And then we sat back, soaked up pressure, and were eventually beaten by a screamer from Adam Hamill with about 5 minutes left.
Did you see the post-match interview with Jimmy Dunn? Where he kind of talked about how they got into the mindset of holding back for the 1-0 win.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite evident and quite dangerous, I think.
It's interesting that they've decided to do that, though. Like,
I don't think it's I don't think it's something that, I mean, I think...
I don't think we're good enough to do that.
No. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think the best aspect of our team is the defence and the goalkeeper. I think that's our most, like, sound unit. But
in open play, though.
But I mean, that being said, I think you could have the best... You'd have the best defence in the league by a country mile. You know, you're not immune from a screamer on the 87th minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no one is.
And I think we're still prone to an odd funny mistake as well.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously that's not what happened
in the game. That's part of being this far down the leagues,
I think. It can always happen, especially in this league. And we saw, you know, against Luton.
Yeah.
Luton game. You can see it's sometimes not a good idea to kind of hold out for a 1-0 because you don't know what's going to happen.
Game finished 1-1 anyway, and we have done the three-word review, which I've got to thank Gav for this because he thought it was funny to tag me in this tweet so that my Twitter notifications were unnecessarily bombarded. So this was fun yesterday, just every time going on my phone and having 60 notifications off Twitter. So I'll read a few. Most of them are quite negative. So, first one, no killer punch from Rob Hill Walker. Neil Stanes gives, where League One? One, it's a word, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Number, word.
Yeah, words and numbers.
Why Michael not? Sloan's is going to make a swear, and he says, absolute wank midfield.
Right.
Fair play. Must do better, Simon Westrip. George Honeyman needed. I agree, Joseph Gorman.
Absolutely.
Chris Hollywood Maguire from Harry Macbeth.
Mm.
Can't score more, Gareth Cairns. Jack Ross Tactics from Sergeant Scooter Boy. Midfield is shit. It's a common theme. From SG. Wheels getting loose from Ryan Palliser.
It's quite damning.
Magia must stay from my good friend Graham from the Extra podcast. Playoff hopefuls, Topcat 404. Mm. Wide drop McGeoch from Gaz. Steed Johnston needed from Andy Jackpot.
Wait, what?
Steed Johnston. I think he's...
Steed Malbrock and Alan Johnston. Is that what he's he's referring to?
Yeah, he must want Wears. Good Wears.
Yeah.
Well, Steve Albrandt was a number 10, really.
He was. Mm. He was, but...
Guy Incognito, 1-1 draw. Jake Collinson, another bloody draw. I'll try and see if there's any of the... Oh, Alex McCain, Connor lacks hair. I don't know how it reviews the game, but somehow...
Well, it's always important, Connor.
It's always on your mind.
Yeah, it's always on my mind, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of them Turkish hair transplants.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Becca Gibson says no fucking balls and then puts abysmal afterwards. It's raging.
That's one more than three, that might.
Yeah, kind of breaks the rules, but we'll allow it.
Mark Evans, another corner cleared. We're going to talk about corners as well. Need new signings from Finlay Anderson, who's a young reporter who covers the games. I mean, there's a lot. Fuck Connor's laptop. That's from my brother because my laptop kept buffering.
Mine does that, mate.
Yeah, it was frustrating. I feel the pain. Germany. Briefly, and my computer does not agree when I'm in Germany.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't load. So, aye. Michael Bowers, keep clean sheets. How long do I go on with this? I'm done.
You can go until you find a positive one.
Yeah. Game in hand, laughing face from We Are Luton Town.
That's kind of positive. Yeah. Oh no, from Luton Town.
But I suppose they're, you know, pointing out maybe not to get upset. Jack Ross's Fault from Jordan Ramsay. Oh. They're beginning now. Work rate pace needed. You know, I'm giving up. We're done. I'm going to throw some stuff over to you now because I've been talking quite a bit.
Okay.
So, to the game, did Jack Ross get the team selection right? Alex, you take it away. You're the veteran here.
Yeah, and the short answer is no. And the long answer is that I think he's brought in players at the expense of players who don't deserve to drop out. And I think really I just mean McGeoch by that. I think he was very good last week. I think he was our best outfield player last weekend. But why he came in for Catamol, I'm at a loss. I think Catamol is completely past it. You know, I think he's got no mobility.
Completely past it?
Completely, yeah. Really? I just think comfortably he was the least mobile player on that pitch. I think every time Scunthorpe broke, you know, he was about 3 yards behind his man at any given time that he was meant to be tracking. You know, he allowed them so much space in midfield if they did run because he was never getting to them. And I think while he's still a decent passer of the ball, and you can say, yeah, but he's a good leader, you know, what good's a leader if you can't really contribute in a substantial way yourself? You know, you can bark at other players all you want, but then if you can't catch the man that you're marking, you know, you're playing with a man down. And I just don't think his title of vice captain really justifies that. I think McGeoch should have stayed in, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure why Magic came off when he did. He came off quite early. And I think really, you know, I think a lot of people, I'm one of these, criticise Sunderland strikers recently, saying that all they do is score. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, what more do you need to do if you can? You know, if you can score, what else do you need? You know, if you leave Magic on the pitch, there's, you know, he could pull a goal from half a chance, really. We've seen him do it so many times. You know, why bring him off?
So you think tactics within the game were as much the issue as the initial selection?
Yeah.
I found the substitution of Magic curious.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, you know, I suppose the only real reason I could think to bring him off is because he's tired. But if you're getting tired on 70 minutes, you know, that's not great.
I feel it probably kind of confirms that idea of we're hanging on for the 1-0 as well. Mm. Like, the idea wasn't, let's go for another goal with Magic. It was, let's hang on, let's get Wyke on there and just knock it up and have him hold it up.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, it didn't work.
I can understand bringing Wyke on because it gives you that defensive set piece.
Yeah.
Another header in there.
And I think Wyke plays very well as a defensive forward. But I think when you want goals, I don't have an awful lot of faith in him, really.
No, he needs to be playing with someone else.
Yeah.
Wyke needs a goal, doesn't he?
And I mean, he does. Jack Ross as a manager, even when he came, it was all about exciting football. It was about going for the throat, if you like. Like some of the St Mirren goals and stuff like that. And some of the stuff we were playing at the start of the season, that seems to have gone. And I'm not sure why. Because we have the exact same players. I don't know if it's fatigue. I mean, what you touched on earlier about players coming out who shouldn't have. I think there are some players who should be coming out as well. I mean, Gooch, I don't remember the last time I've really been blown away by him.
No.
Like, his form at the start of the season has dipped massively.
I think he's doing very well to keep in the team. You know,
I also think it's who do you bring in for him?
Is it a case of, so, you know, we talk about the central midfield options. Is it maybe time to drop in another central midfielder to pack out a midfield? Because we've went with two centre mids all season, and I think we have actually struggled in midfield battles, particularly away from home.
Yeah.
So is it time that we do go with maybe, well, a 4-5-1, I suppose it would be, and get
possibly
an extra centre mid in there?
Possibly. I think he plays with a lot of width, so maybe he's thinking, I don't want to pack the midfield because I'm, you know, he wants the balls out wide. Maybe that's a thought. But for me, I think to get that balance, I like the three at the back for that, to get that balance. Because then one can push in a little to sit, and then you can have Power or McGeoch or Catamol kind of pushing up. That's how I would look at it.
I think it was interesting, you made a point before, Josh, about Jack Ross's, when he was brought in, he was all about attacking.
Yeah.
And it does seem, you know, you hear what Jimmy Dunn says yesterday, holding on for the points. That wasn't what it was like early in the season. So there's a bit of a philosophical change.
Yeah. Early in the season, there was loads of games where we'd just bombard teams.
Yeah.
You know, we'd get 2, 3, 4 goals, and then that would be it.
Scunthorpe at home.
Yeah.
3-0 up after, what, 25 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
And it was scintillating stuff. It was the most exciting stuff I've seen us play for some time. And it was like, this is incredible.
It was almost quite surreal watching them just like comfortably win without there being any sort of catch or...
A good half an hour every game.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was it. That was it at the time. It was,
come on and say, oh, wouldn't it be brilliant if we played that complete 90 minutes? But now we're not getting even the half an hour, which we were getting. Yeah. That was winning with games.
Mm.
Pretty much.
We talked a little bit about, Cattermole and McGeoch, but Power struggling as well for me. I think that red card at Walsall seems to have knocked...
I think it's quietened him down. I think he looks a lot more apprehensive just in general when he plays now. I think perhaps he's just sort of on eggshells. And I think he probably sort of experienced the, you know, like a few hours or so of just like, the backlash from the fans where we thought that he got his third red. I remember looking at Twitter when he got his, when the third red was just sort of like brandished by the referee, and everyone was just like laying into him. So I think he's probably aware that if he does get that third red, you know, from, you know, a potentially dodgy referee, which are aplenty in this league, I think he's very aware that, you know, that could be a serious sort of blow to his time at Sunderland. So I think maybe he's just a bit more apprehensive. I wouldn't go as far to say that he's ever really played bad, but it's just we don't really see enough of him. And I think he plays a role where you can't really justify not being seen as much. You know, he's not.
He used to dictate the game. Like, he used to love the way he got on the ball, and you always knew he was looking to create something, whether it would just be a crossfield ball. And now he just seems a bit more timid. But I think, you know, maybe as this red card distraction gets further in these rear view mirror, he'll probably start to begin.
So.
I mean, I think Power should still be in the start 11, but I think right now, I'm beginning to wonder, you know, how long that will happen for. Because, I mean, I remember Honeyman was playing central midfield before he got injured.
Yeah.
You know, actually in that too, and he was doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've missed him so much defensively in that midfield, but even creatively going forward. You know, the thing about it was the Wickham game, I think he set up the goal. The only bit of quality we had all game came from him, and I think we are desperately missing him. And it's interesting that the fans now are realising how good he was, because he was splitting opinion all season.
Yeah.
People, oh, he's useless, what does he do? And now it's like, oh, we actually
Ever since he's gone, we don't seem to be really doing an awful lot of much of anything you know, spectacular.
Yeah.
There is perhaps a correlation.
We talked a little bit about McGeady, Maguire and Gooch, but is that part of the problem, them three? I think McGeady, in my opinion, has been the best of the three in recent weeks. But Maguire and Gooch just... I mean, I suppose Maguire and Gooch combined for the Luton goal the other day, but that general play just seems way off.
Gooch keeps coming inside, and I think he's best when he's out on the outside, you know, driving to the byline, getting in the box. And he keeps coming inside on that left foot. As far as I'm aware, that's not his stronger foot.
Yeah, it's right foot, yeah.
And I know he's cut in inside and scored with his left before, but it just seems to be his go-to move now. And I don't know if he's been told to do that, so then we can have kind of 09 come overlap on the right. But that doesn't seem to be working at the moment.
No. And what about Maguire?
Well, I think Maguire... Well, I think, as we were saying before we started recording, you know, Maguire has... he's a very hot and cold player. He's very inconsistent. Yeah. And I wonder maybe if... Maybe, as is the case with Gooch and Power, that Ross is keeping him in the squad to sort of maintain that faith in him, because he knows that when he is good, you know, he can be great. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, really, where if you were just to drop him, I think that might just sort of knock his confidence. You know, you're relegating him to the bench. And I think,
and it worked, because he was dropped for the Burton game, then he came on, he scored a screamer in the month, and then from there he had a lovely
and 2 weeks
later
he scored another goal in a month or something.
I'm just not really entirely sure of Ross's approach, because he seems to drop some players to motivate them to get better, I suppose, but some of them he seems to persist with in the hopes that they're going to get better. So really I'm not entirely sure what the approach is with these particular players. It's very possible that he's tailoring the approach to the player, to the individual, which makes a lot of sense, you know.
I mean,
there's no one-size-fits-all, but yeah.
What did you think about Baldwin being the one to come out for Dunn as opposed to Flanagan?
Baldwin's played a lot of football. Like, I didn't think there was anything sinister in that. I think it's just a case that Baldwin's the one who's been the mainstay in the team.
Yeah,
he's played a lot more than Flanagan has.
Mm.
And I personally think Baldwin's probably the better centre-back.
I do.
I think so.
I do.
It's interesting. And I think most fans think the opposite. I think most fans think that Flanagan's better, but I think Baldwin, for me, he's very good at the last ditch stuff.
Yeah, Flanagan's a bit rash for me. sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he played against, obviously, Newcastle under 21s. So I thought, oh, well, Baldwin will probably,
yeah,
probably be fine for the next couple of games then. And then for him to come out, I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's probably nothing sinister, but I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
if one of them were going to come
out, cost were. I don't think the centre back yesterday were poor by any stretch. No, I don't think Ross got that wrong.
No, I think Dunn played quite well for, you know, for a debut. I think what we're missing really in the centre back pair, I think Baldwin and Flanagan are both good defenders in their own right, but neither, I don't think, are particularly, you know, physical sort of burly lads. Yeah. And that Dunn looks like, you know, a bit of a unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's maybe, I think that Ross definitely dropped Baldwin over Flanagan on the basis that Baldwin's played a lot more than Flanagan has. Mm-hmm. But I am not entirely sure if he'll regain his place immediately. I think he might persist with Dunn just to see how that extra physicality works in the back line.
Yeah.
And I think I'd probably like to see that as well. I don't think I'd like Dunn just to drop back down to the bench once Baldwin's sort of rejuvenated. I think I'd like to see... Let's see Dunn maybe have a couple of games alongside Flanagan, sort of build that cohesion with the partnership and see if he can use that sort of muscle in a division where you're up against a lot of equally burly forwards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had a few of those sort of like, I mean, Kiefer Moore had a life when Barnsley played. I think I'd like to see how Jimmy Dunn stacks up against a lad like him.
Yeah.
In that lad of Rochdale's a big lad and all, but I mean, he's not very good. But
you could also put Dunn always just on the big striker and that could be his role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think on Tuesday against Man City, you'll probably put Baldwin with Dunn, see how that works.
Yeah.
And then
I think that's fair.
We've got 10 days, whatever, before the next game, we can actually see.
Mm-hmm. It's a big presence in the other box as well, isn't it, for set pieces?
Yeah.
Which, because the guy's a giant.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, you've obviously got to get past the first man.
Yeah, well, yeah, that
he's not going to win a header.
No.
Can put him on the front post.
Put him on the, yeah.
Which is interesting because we always hit the front man. So why don't our attackers mark the front post? Like, why don't we mark the front man and go, well, it's probably not actually going to make it because they can't seem to do it?
You see, I think on the whole, we can't beat the first man problem. I think the issue really is quite resolvable. Now, as far as I'm aware, Reece James, okay, I think he's been great so far. I think he's been a really solid, steady fullback. You know, he made the goal for Magia. I think he's been good. You know, his crosses aren't half bad by our team standards. You know, he contributes up very well to offensive and defensive duties every game, you know, to a satisfactory standard. But I just don't think he's as good as Oviedo. I think Oviedo is overall the, you know, not significantly better choice, but I think good enough to warrant that place in the first team. I think as far as, you know, if you were to put the two lads side by side and to sort of maybe just compare, you know, their attributes as a footballer, their sort of fundamental skills as a fullback, I think Oviedo wins out. I think he's the best crosser of the ball in our team. I think if you have him sort of overlapping with the winger and swinging the cross into the box, I think you'd probably reap a lot more rewards. I don't think it's the solution to the problem of beating the first man, but I just think that Oviedo makes a difference. You know, I've seen them swing crosses in against teams and they've just, you know, they've reached the brow of the man he's picked out every time in a lot of games. I just think he's my go-to guy.
Do you not think that maybe then we should be, I agree with you that Oviedo is one of our better, you know, footballers, but could his skills not be used further up the field? I mean, especially, I'm happy with Reece James being a left back. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing a great job and I wouldn't drop him. But I also think Chris Maguire, Lyndon Gooch, as we've said, are struggling at the minute.
Fixes the
Would you try and put Oviedo further at the
end? I would.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I would try that, yeah.
People have said that it's like putting Patrick Van Aanholt when he was here. People put him left wing. Mm-hmm. That was different though, because his game was all about running quickly from deep and getting to the byline and doing the overlap. Whereas Oviedo, his game, his qualities are more his crossing abilities. Yeah. You know, he's crossing against Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think PVA, PVA for me was more of like, I think he would have really suited to being an inside forward because he could just cut in with his pace and just like fire on goal. And I came off for him a fair few times and it has done for Palace. But yeah, I agree. For Oviedo, I think he could play the winger's role just fine. Yeah. I think there aren't too many differences between the fullback and the winger. I think they're probably two of the more similar positions on the pitch, if not the two more similar, in my opinion. But yeah, I think Gooch or Maguire, I think one of those is probably played the last game in this string of games that they've had where they've not been really inspiring. I'd take one of them off. I'd put Oviedo on to start and I'd just see how he gets on. And I think if we see a lot more accuracy down his side for balls into the box, And I think for the time being, you persist with that and you just see how those two get on in training.
Oviedo as well can go in the box on corners to defend,
yeah,
which is another area. Mm-hmm. Luke O'Nine's been playing right back and I think he's been doing a hell of a job.
Yes.
But believe that Luke O'Nine should be playing further up the field, especially with Adam Matthews pretty much back now.
Mm-hmm.
Surely we should now be thinking, well, Luke O'Nine clearly has an eye for goal. Yeah. He's scored some good goals for her.
Mm-hmm.
He's got energy. He's playing really well. He's physical. Mm-hmm. We need to keep him in the team. Why not put him in that front three? Why, you know, we talk about putting Oviedo in for Maguire or Gooch. Why not put Luke O'Nine in there as well to play off, you know, Charlie White? If Charlie White's going to be playing instead of maybe Josh Maguire, if Josh Maguire does leave, surely that could be similar to Agan Fenwa playing with Luke O'Nine last year at Wigan that did really well.
Potentially.
So should Luke O'Nine be pushing further up?
Yeah, well, I think at the start of the season, it was always about getting his confidence up and getting him time on the pitch. And now he's done that at right back. I think he'll be more than capable to do the number 10, like you say. And I think that would work really well. Because I think that's what we don't have enough of when Maguire is number 10. He always comes to the ball. And I think we need runners off, especially if White's playing.
Do you think that, for me, Maguire slows the game down?
Yeah.
Which I've found.
Yeah.
I think that's okay sometimes. But when you're not playing well, not scoring, having somebody who, when they get the ball, always just slows it down, I don't think it's necessarily you know, effective.
Yeah. Yeah, he always just seems to just take it in and then just kind of put it out wide.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's fine. It gets us forward. But you're right. I think we need that. Sometimes we need that momentum and that. Because I think the biggest thing and why we were so good at the start of the season is, and when we went 3-0 up against Gunthorpe, it was constant pressure. It was kind of getting them in, you know, into their own half and just not letting them go. And sometimes we haven't been very good at that recently.
Just before I read Jack Ross's post-game comments, I just thought we'd update on the Johnny Goldsmith situation, and he is still locked in the toilet.
Yeah.
So, not a good day for him.
No. Sadly, this is an audio-based platform, so we can't go live to the bog, which Johnny is currently sat in.
Yeah, I was thinking when he gets released, we could periscope it.
Gets released.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really what it is.
I think we should make like a guard of honour when he gets out. Just
probably like the fire brigade's probably out there right now. Like,
we'll all like applaud him as he walks out the building.
Yeah. Going to be a hell of a story. Jack Ross, anyway, his comments. So he said, frustration is the word for it. I'm striving to put it right. The buck always stops with me. Whatever I'm doing with the players, I need to get better at it, and we need to get it right over the next 19 games. If we don't, we will be a toss of a coin away from getting what we want. If we do, we will get where we want because we are not far off it. Only two defeats this season tells one story, but 11 draws tells another. It's not panic stations. I'm always optimistic. I'm always positive, but you have to combine that with realism as well. It comes down to what you do on the training pitch. Are we doing enough work? Is it the right work? Is it about different combinations, personnel? Whatever it is, we have to find the answers. Now, I took away from his comments, number one, I mean, I trust Jack Ross and he's the manager for me.
Yeah, same.
But the comments that I took were more of a, I think we're going to see a shake-up now. I think he's now went to the players, since we've got this break, 2 weeks off, obviously we've got the game on Tuesday in the checker trade, but essentially 2 weeks off, we're going to try something different. I wouldn't be shocked if he tries his three at the back again, which he tried very briefly, and then Leuven's went off after 30 seconds against Coventry. But be interesting if he does go to three at the back and goes 3-5-2, tries to put White up there with Madja, might have a new striker by then as well. Well, we've got to have a new striker by then, because
when
next league game's going to fall after the transfer window. So I think we're going to see, is this team going to be totally different when we come to play Wimbledon on February 2nd?
What you've just described there is exactly what I would like to see, and it's kind of why I think he's brought Dunn in. And obviously, he's a backup as well if we're just playing two at the back. But I think having those three, just get them all out there. Because like you say, the back two have been one of our stronger points of the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Dunn looks like he'd do us any harm. So getting the three in, obviously better on set pieces if we can beat the first man. And then it gives us that balance of still having it out wide, so you can still use the wingers, still wear the wing backs. But then the wingers can come in a bit more centrally. So if Luke O'Nine was going to be one of them, McGeady probably still in there in the centre. And I think I loved it when we played it early in the season. I thought it worked really well when Gooch was wing back. And then I think it was Oviedo starting at that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you're bringing in Oviedo back in, he can go back to left wing back. Hopefully we'll see the kind of crosses we saw at Charlton with Gooch or O'Nine. Maybe would be wing back still coming in. I think it just gives us a lot more options. And like I say, if you've got two up front with Wyke, hopefully Madja or another striker, I think we have a lot more options then.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're five as well in the middle, you could either have that as three central midfielders, which again adds more steel to the team, probably will help us stop conceding goals, but also having two up front is going to give away a lot of, you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be two up front. You can maybe play 3-5-1-1, you know, and get McGeady in there or get Honeyman in there. Yeah. But I think it gives you a lot of options.
It does.
Putting the three at the back. So I think my guess is that we're going to go to that soon. I don't know if it'll be the next game, but I'd be interested to see if he tries it on Tuesday.
Aye.
Because obviously that's a, want to win it, obviously, but it's a game to experiment.
Yeah.
I think as well, you know, you're playing the statistically worst team in the division. I think it's probably the best opportunity, in my opinion anyway. I mean, you can sort of differ on this kind of thing, I think, but in my opinion, this is probably the best opportunity for a league game to try out something that's, you know, quite fundamentally new to what you've had before.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you want to change your formation, you know, take two players off, bring two in, play a different role, i.e. wing back, and I think you're probably best off doing that against a team like AFC Wimbledon rather than a team further up in the division. I think, you know, they're down there and they're pretty far down. They've got 23 points, if I'm not mistaken. They're 6 or 7, you know, from safety as it stands. I think even if it doesn't quite work, you've probably still got enough in your locker just with the quality on paper to turn them over anyway, in my opinion. I think you've got to just go and you've got to, if you're going to try something new, that's the time to try it.
I mean, what we're doing now isn't working.
No,
so
evidently not.
It's definitely the time to mix it up a little bit, I think. I saw a funny comment on Twitter where it was like, we're not going to get promoted if our past results look like binary code.
That was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Really like that.
Buzzing.
Really like that.
Alex with a banging tweet.
Right, yeah, really like that. Yeah.
Alex is underrated funny.
Honestly, honestly.
He's possibly one of the funniest people I know, but he gets no credit for it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I need some more mash for my
bangers.
Well,
there bangers. You go. There's some brand new points.
Very much, for the bangers, and yet we all missed it.
Yeah.
I normally catch Alex's joke when I listen back to the podcast.
I'm like a Van Gogh, Connor. You know, I'm not appreciated in my own time.
Yeah.
My time is evidently half an hour after I've said it, you know, but hey ho.
Some exchange betting companies run short-lived promotions, like month-long offers of low commission. At BetDak, we wanted to change the way we did things, so we set our commission at 2% permanently. That's 2% on football, horse racing, golf, almost any sport. 2%. That's just one way that BetDak is changing for the better. For the better. Like you. BetDak, the 2% commission exchange.
Over 18s only, please gamble responsibly. The fixtures we've got coming up, talk about experimenting, but we have a kind fixture list coming up. So Wimbledon at home, Oxford away. Oxford did beat Portsmouth the weekend, but they're bottom half team. Blackpool at home, Accrington Stanley at home, Gillingham at home, Bristol Rovers away, Plymouth at home, Accrington Stanley away, and Wickham away. We've got a run of three away games there, actually, because I'm at Barnsley away. But before that Barnsley game, which, you know, we'll be a hard one there.
Big game, game now.
That's
far
a run of nine games where I look at it and I say, if we want to be promotion contenders, we have to win 7 of them.
At least, I think, yeah.
And the amount of home games we've got there, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, we've got 5 home games in there. You know,
got to win all of them, I think.
Yeah,
given who they're against as well.
But that's the week that stands out to me is the Blackpool at home, Accrington Stanley, Gillingham. It's 3 games in a week, all at home, all against bottom, well, Accrington's, I think,
they're
just...
Right.
Well, they fell away, though. They started quite well, but they did fall away. I'm sure they're around mid-table now.
Yeah. So now we've got, though, them 3 games at home, and if that's 9 points, then that's it. Yeah. That's where your season's defined, isn't it? So
definitely.
I think we do need to change it around, and I think I think we'll see that on Tuesday night. I hope that he does maybe try 3 at the back, but...
Yeah.
The set pieces, we've touched on them. We've touched on not beating the first man. Mm-hmm. But yesterday we looked like conceding from a set piece. I'm shocked that we didn't, because every time the ball went in, we looked like conceding. So, you know, what is it? Why are we so poor at set pieces? Is it lack of strength, lack of height, lack of desire? Is it the fact that the teams are targeting set? I mean, we've only conceded 8 goals from open play, which suggests that we're a brilliant team. 11, you know, on the pitch there and then. But when it comes to a dead ball situation, we really struggle. So Jack Ross, I suppose, needs to Tony Pulis it up, doesn't he? He just needs to focus on set pieces and training.
I mean, I think if we were in a higher league, we'd have considered a lot more from open play. I think some of it is to do with the other team's finishing.
You can only
beat
what's in front of you.
Yeah,
and, you know, people say, you know, your keeper is making amazing saves, but do you know what? The keeper's actually one of our 11. Like, him making amazing saves
is part of
is,
it.
because we have a good goalkeeper.
It's not an excuse to justify us, you know, not improving. I think a good goalkeeper is part of your team. You know, you depend on your goalkeeper to make a save. The is the difference between 3 points or one or one or none. You know, that's why he's there. He's there to make those saves. If you say, oh, you've only won because your keeper was good. Well, yeah. We've only won because we had a good team. That's indirectly what you're saying. You're just saying it in a negative way.
No different to Harry Kane scoring all the chances he gets in the game.
Yeah, it's like me not being a Sunderland fan saying, oh, well, I'll do my Geordie voice. Yours are only scoring because you've got Modger up front, you know, but like Modger's one of your players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why is it?
You can't use a player as an excuse to justify you not losing.
Yeah.
Mm. He's one of your players.
I saw that as well. But Man United beat Spurs the other week at Wembley and it was like, oh, United were poor there. It was only because De Gea made them saves. And I'm like, yeah, but De Gea plays for them. It's not like an act of God. Like, they own that player in PSG ages. Why is it a surprise that he's keeping them in games? That's
David
what
De Gea
he's paid for.
Is employed and contracted by Manchester United. Yeah. And that is why Manchester United have done well. It's not... No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could go on forever about how that's a really dumb argument, but...
It's the same with people have been like, Josh Maguire won't keep scoring on, 45% of his shots or whatever it is. And I was like, well... Maybe not, but why? Like, each chance is individual.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think he's thinking on the pitch, oh, I better get this to keep up with the 45%.
Yeah. It's just a case of he's just getting himself. Yeah,
he doesn't consult his expected goal spreadsheet before walking onto the pitch. No, he just goes on the
score. I'd love it if he did.
Absolutely.
Track the stats.
Yeah.
So, is this a blip, or is it more serious than a blip?
I don't think it's
hot
more
take.
Serious.
This is
than
time for a hot
I don't
take.
Think it's more serious than a blip, no.
I mean, we've only lost one game in this blip.
Exactly.
So, I mean, maybe...
I think it's more just maybe temper and expectations. I think we've probably saw how we played at the start of the season, where we were blown... So, you know, we blew a few teams away, I think that's fair to say, and that has kind of stopped. Yep. So, and I think now the panic alarms are starting to go.
Yeah, but I think... Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right. But, I mean, you know, we've still got... However long, 10 days of the transfer window, maybe a bit longer. I'm sure we'll look quite different by the time we play Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think it's not just the sort of renewed optimism of everything this season, but I do agree. I think it's not a. I don't think it's something serious. I think if you're calling a run in January of 3 draws and a win a blip, a serious issue, then you know I don't think so. I think you know ultimately while. We've drawn more games than we'd have liked to. I don't think we've ever looked, you know, perilous. I've never like looked at us and thought there's a real weakness in that team. You know, it's not like Moyes' lot or Grayson and Coleman's. I don't look at this team and think we are sorely missing something. And that is, you know, I never think that we're impoverished in any area of the pitch. I just think that we're underwhelming. You know, and that for me is a blip. You know, at its worst, that for me is something that can be put right either by tweaking the team, so you can sort of. Renew the sort of games you saw at the start of the season, or you can bring one or two players in to fix it, you know. Yeah. I think a serious issue isn't amended so easily.
Yeah.
So what if I said, though, that in my opinion, we have not played well in a league game since the Barnsley game, the first half an hour of that game. I don't think we've played exceptionally well since that point. So since then, to go through the games, which we won one against Walsall in the Cup, then we lost against Walsall at home, which we were terrible. Beat Bristol Rovers at home, which was we weren't great. Lost against Portsmouth. We did actually do all right that day, but the red card cost us. Bradford, we should have drew because they had a goal.
Yeah.
Not giving a shot. Shrewsbury, we were poor. Drew 1-1. Blackpool won 1-0, but there was nothing in the game. Yeah. Could easily have conceded, but I think it was Baldwin cleared one off the line. Charlton away, we were good for 45 minutes, actually. So maybe that's the one outlier, but still only drew the game. Luton drew 1-1, didn't do enough to win it.
Nah.
The game yesterday drew 1-1, didn't do enough to win it. So I think that's why fans are getting worried. I mean, I've had conversations with fans and they'll point to that. You know, the fact that it has been basically coming up 2 months since we last dominated a game and won. So that, I think that's where the worry comes from.
Okay, but that's interesting what you just said there, because that was sort of the question I was going to ask you there, Connor. I was going to say, what does it take for you to say that we're not having a blip and we are just a really good team? Because if you look at the best teams in this division, the two above us, you know, statistically, are Portsmouth and Luton. Portsmouth and Luton aren't dominating every game. You know, like when I'm scrolling through the score ticker, I often see Portsmouth and Luton falling behind, you know, second-rate League One teams. And they turn it around. A lot of the time they turn it around. Sometimes they don't. You know, they've both lost more than we have. Yeah. You know, they haven't. You know, I dare say that if you want us to, you know, if to be satisfactory by our standards now is to dominate, you know, 3 out of 4 games, then I think you're asking for too much, because no one's doing that at the moment. You know, yeah. Portsmouth and Luton are doing well, but if you just base it on the points, they are doing marginally better than us. You know, they've both picked up what, another win, another draw. You know, there's not an awful lot there, really. I think I'm going to maintain that this is a blip. You know, you aren't going to. We had a spell where we dominated teams with a relentless 30 minutes and then a above average 60, I think it's fair to say, in the games like Scunthorpe and Gillingham.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to have games like those, and you're going to have spells in the season where you draw a few and then you win the odd one here and there. Mm-hmm. And if that's your worst spell, then crikey, you've not got an awful lot going wrong for you. You know, I just don't think that. I think some Sunderland fans have gone from setting a really low standard for club success, i.e. just having an owner and manager that care, to suddenly being, right, well, why haven't we totally beat, you know, why haven't we hounded this team 3 or 4-0? Well, that's the reality of League One, is that, you know, you're going to have games where you win, but there might not be an awful lot in it. You know, I mean, okay, you beat Bristol Rovers 2-1 and Blackpool 1-0, but at the end of the day, you beat them. You know, you were the better team. You know, it was by a fairly narrow margin, but you were the better team, and that's what it takes to, you know, do well in a league like this. I don't think anyone's going to run away with it this season.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say that we should be running away with it this season. I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting it before, because, I mean, you know, it was new to all of us. We didn't know how Stuart Donald were going to do. We didn't know what Jack Ross was going to be like. And I think we were probably all pleasantly surprised at the start. Mm. And then, like you say, expectations have gone up a little bit. And now people are... panicking a little bit, which I get, I do. But it's, you know, it's still what, 6 months into this whole. We're all learning at this point.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there is a chance we might not go up, and I think we have to accept that, because Barnsley are on our tail now, and they're on the same games, and they're a few points behind. Charlton are doing well.
They're on the same number of points as us.
Yeah. And Luton aren't. I don't think Luton are going to drop off as much as people thought.
The thing is, Luton have been on a ridiculous run. Like, I can't see them winning at the rate they are winning at the moment. Like, and they can't seem like...
I hope not.
Yeah.
For our sake.
But I didn't think there was much between them.
I didn't.
And, you know, Portsmouth have tailed off. I think it's fair to say that they have dropped points recently. I mean, I suppose even a couple of weeks ago, you would have said that it was us and Luton fighting for second. Whereas now you look at it and, you know, if we win my game on hand, we're a point behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I think as it stands, it's Luton's to top at the moment. I think I think they're the most consistent team.
They're in form side.
And
then, but then obviously they've lost their manager, and you've got to think, will that impact them eventually?
Yeah. Maybe.
Easily could.
So there's lots to consider. But it is worth remembering that we're still in a great position. We are third.
Exactly.
We have scored... Oh, I had the stat there. We scored the third most amount of goals.
Right.
Conceded the second, third least.
That's not bad, is it?
No, those are very good stats. They're very flattering.
They've just lost 2 games all season, which, you know, is...
It's just these draws, isn't it? But again, like I said to you before we start recording as well, we drew 11. 6 of those are from a winning position, which is obviously the frustrating side of it. Mm-hmm. So we've lost 12 points. But 5 of those were from a losing position. So it depends on how you look at it. Have we lost 12 points? Are you going to focus on gaining 5? Because if we were 5 behind where we were now, then we'd be... in a bit of trouble. But obviously if we were 12 points better off, then we'd be laughing. So it depends on how you look at it. But I choose to kind of, I'm going to choose at the moment to be a bit more optimistic about things. I think
Jimmy Dunn, talked about him a little bit, but what do we make of his debut overall? Solid.
You want to take this one?
Very solid. I already like him. I like the way he talks in interviews. He seems you know, all ahead of his years, I think.
Got experience as well.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, he seems to be the kind of player we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Transfers. Will Grigg got injured yesterday, which is typical Sunderland.
Yeah.
So is there, how does that impact us?
Well, I think if you think about this maybe from, I don't know how strong of an argument this is, but I'm prepared to play devil's advocate on the whole Will Grigg's roll his ankle thing. You know, could Wigan potentially just be saying that to put us off? And I could get why they wouldn't be, perhaps, because he isn't their go-to striker. But are they perhaps thinking that we're not really offering, you know, like we've had 2 bids turned down now. Are they potentially thinking that we're not prepared to meet his valuation, and thus, you know, they don't want sort of any more sort of correspondence with us on that front? Are they perhaps just saying that to sort of put us off? I don't know. I mean, it's not the strongest argument, but I just think it's potentially one worth considering.
Well, I was informed, my sources,
right,
Sky sources, yeah, that they were going to go hard on Greg and they were going to pay, if they had to pay, they would pay up to what Wigan wanted. So, right.
Which was a million?
Roughly a million, yeah.
That's not big money for what we're doing.
Not for him.
No, not for him. No, he's worth every penny of
a
million.
Not if he gets us up.
And he's I think Will Greg could score 10 goals.
I think he could score between 10 and 15, I think, give or take.
And he's got a great chant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just do it for that.
So many positives. Yeah.
Just do it for
that. He has a chant.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I mean, I'm sure they're looking at a number of targets.
Yeah.
I was any other targets, do you reckon?
I've heard of Lawrence Shankland. I've heard his name mentioned a couple of times. He's doing very well. Yeah. And I'm sure Jack Ross knows a lot about him, given the Scotland ties. Other than that, I've heard kind of Kiefer Moore mentioned, but why would they sell him?
Yeah, you know, they've already sold someone to Luton, haven't they?
George Moncur.
Yeah, are they going to...
I don't see us getting him.
It's Potts or Moncur, it was one of them.
They're probably fine with money right unrealistic. Now. If we came in with like...
And why would they choose million to strengthen... Kiefer, they'd be strengthening their direct competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Really
make
sense to me.
Yeah, we're probably there looking at something and right, you know... They haven't been winning all their games. They've been drawing a lot of them. You know, like, why would we sell them a striker? You know, why would we sell them their second goal in a game?
Exactly.
But I think you know, like I say, they're probably okay with the Moncur money, you know, for this standard of football. So I think if we came to Barnsley with 1.5 million in one hand, you know, with a whimsical smile on our faces, they'd probably just laugh us away. They'd probably think, no, you know, we're not giving you our best, you know, like one of our best players. Mm-hmm. For, you know, a good amount of money when we already have a good amount of money and you need to score goals and you're our direct competition, as you say. It's sort of a culmination of that, what's been said, yeah.
So how many targets do you think should be in mind? We talked about this last week, Alex, and I think I said we needed a striker and a central midfielder and I think I was laughed out of the building.
Laughed at your idiocy, Connor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd put a winger on that list. I think.
Yeah. Yep, wide player, absolutely.
That'd be a wide player, or would that be just an attacking-minded player?
I mean, I suppose it depends on what you're doing with the system. If you're going at the 3-5-2, you might not need another winger. Mm-hmm. You might need someone who can play more of a central role, but attack-minded. So I guess it depends on that. But if we're sticking with the formation we're playing now, then certainly another winger, and I'd say a winger, outright winger, for me.
Mm-hmm. Proper winger.
Yeah, who gets on the outside, drives to the byline, gets the crosses in, especially if Wyke's playing more often.
Yeah.
Which he seems to be.
Alex?
Well, I dare say that if I'm perfectly honest, I think we do need a wide player, but rather than a winger, I'd have an inside forward. I think one thing that we've not been doing as much now that we did a lot early in the season is cut inside from the flanks and shoot. I think
Gucci's trying that a lot.
Yeah,
on the our
principal sort of way of scoring is to get to the byline and hoof a crossing and hope it lands on someone's head, and it very, very rarely does. Seldom do we hit the target. I think if you get a player who's, you know, who's just like whose principal sort of, you know, like well refined game is to cut in and shoot, then I think that's an option that we certainly would be better off with. You know, I mean, I know Gucci's been trying that, and I think our best player for doing that at the moment is McGeady.
Yeah.
Very nearly scored another pearler against Luton when he hit the bar. Very unfortunate. But I think if you've got another player who can do that, you know, who's another option as well as him, then I think, you know, I just think that, you know, maybe while your expected goals thing won't go up, you've got another man, you know, who could get a second from nowhere in the way we're hoping. I mean, a team can put 11 men behind the ball once they go 1-1 to equalise, but as was the case, like we saw with Scunthorpe, and I said earlier, no team is immune to a pearler. You know, Adam Hamill scored a lovely goal to equalise. I'll take nothing away from Scunthorpe. You know, they battled well and then they got themselves back into a game, and a draw was a fair result. But if we had a player who could rise to the occasion that day and do the same, then obviously, you know, you win the game. Mm-hmm. And then I just think that if you have more options like that, then you're much better off with, even if it's not the player you call on every single week.
I think the reason the kind of wide player hasn't been working as much is because I don't feel like we're getting as many players in the box as we were.
No.
Especially Power comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember early on he would get in the box quite often.
Yeah. Campbell did?
Yeah.
Campbell scored like, what, three? Four,
yeah.
Three?
In
three.
A couple of days.
Three, yeah.
A couple of games even.
Yeah, when's the last time he had a chance?
Exactly. And Power scored that lovely header early on. Mm-hmm. And I don't see him getting in the box enough. No. It's kind of, they're just recycling it, which is working, But I think if you're playing McGeoch, who we haven't really touched on a lot, but if you've got McGeoch there, mm-hmm. I feel like that gives Power or Catamole or Honeyman the license to get in the box more.
Absolutely.
Which I think is what we need.
So before we sign off, I want to... I think it'd be good to get an idea then where we sit with what would be the ideal starting 11.
Oh, actually, okay. Connor, I have something that I'd like to mention, and I haven't actually clarified this thus far, but recently a book has been released on Alan Durbin, the former Sunderland manager.
And we had him on the podcast.
Sorry?
We've had him on the podcast.
Exactly, yeah.
Worth listening.
Yeah, there is a book being released about Alan Durbin. It's not biographical. It's more in the vein of...
It's Tomorrow's Now, isn't it?
Yeah, Give Us Tomorrow Now. Yeah, you know, if in the vein of the damned United, you know, a manager depicted as a tragic hero.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, he's a good the author of that book is a good friend of my dad's. So I just thought I would give that a mention to anyone who's looking for a bit of football literature in the vein of the damned United or, you know, things of the like.
Lovely.
Good stuff.
Lovely stuff.
I do apologise for not clarifying that earlier.
So you don't have to apologise.
Well, I have, Connor.
Did you hear how bad my intro was?
No, that intro was great. Are you kidding?
It was organic.
Where's Johnny at, by the way?
Yeah, I've got an update. So I text Johnny 2 minutes ago saying, "What's happening?" Question mark. He said, "Just waiting for someone. They've tried opening it." I said, "Waiting for who?" He said, "A joiner from Gen 2.
Amazing. An adult."
Amazing.
He said, "Any idea on time?" And he says, "They don't know."
Yeah.
So,
oh, dear.
I think Johnny possibly might die here.
Yeah.
In the toilet.
Either that or he's bounding up the corridor now to the studio while holding out for a hero place to jump in the past 20 seconds here.
Well, I'm thinking as well, like, if something tragic does happen, will I have to go to work tomorrow here?
You get the day off. If Johnny meets his end in that toilet, Connor, you get the day off.
Yeah, and if it happens, we're going to sound really horrible.
Yeah, to be honest. So. Yeah. This could be like the most sort of scandalizing recording we've ever made in our lives.
Yeah.
Either that, or it's a funny throwaway anecdote, you know. So, you know,
either way.
Yeah, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Anyway, perfect start 11. So, I'm going to give you both the chance to think of what you would do.
Oh no, I wrote mine down the other day. So,
oh, you wrote it down.
A quick on mine now.
Yeah, well, I wrote it down.
Alex can go through yours, and then Josh, you do yours afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, hang on, I'm furiously typing at my phone that keeps trying to.
Well, while you're doing Wi-Fi. That, I will promote. There is going to be an event with Chris Rushworth, who we had on the podcast about a month ago. We haven't finalised the details yet, but there will be an evening at the Stadium of Light at the end of May, which I will be hosting, so you can see me in the flesh do my thing.
It's not that great, honestly. Yeah, I do it all the time. It brings me down, to be honest.
It's a little bit disgusting.
It is, I mean, every time I look up and see your face between those laptop screens, Connor, I die a little inside.
Yeah, so I'm not going to announce who's coming on, but we've got some good guests coming on, so just keep your eyes posted on that. Right, Alex, are you ready?
Certainly am, brother.
I've got my
favourite formation, the 4-2-3-1.
So you're sticking with what I'm playing now?
I certainly am, and I've got big John McLaughlin in goal. I've got Adam Matthews and Oviedo on the flanks in the full-back position. I've got Baldwin and Dunn as the centre-back partnership. I've got 09 and McGeoch playing in a more holding CDM / CM role. And then my number 10 is, at the moment, Chris Maguire, and either side of him are McGeady and Gooch with Maggett up front.
So George Honeyman gets fit, he doesn't get in your 11?
George Honeyman is an option.
Would you not right now rather have George Honeyman in than Chris Maguire?
Honestly, it was a struggle for me, because what I had at the moment is, like, I quite like Honeyman playing a more reserved defensive role. I like him in what we once coined the Mr. 6 out of 10 role, you know, the role that's never really appreciated but does an awful lot for the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like him being the basis of our band, you know, of our four piece. But the problem is that, like, in that role, for me, it's a choice between Dylan McGeoch, Luke 09, and George Honeyman. And I just think those two edge him out for me. At the moment I like those two more. So I'm going with them.
For me.
But there's very little in it.
If I was gonna criticize your team, which I am, I would say I understand what you're saying about Honeyman being more defensive, and I like that.
Yep.
Why not put 09 in for Maguire in the number 10? Or Gooch, or move Maguire on the wing or something, or McGeady, or whatever you want to do with that. Would you not want to see 09 push a little bit further forward? Because I don't think 09 would be as good in the central midfield as Honeyman, but I think 09 might actually be better in the number 10 role.
Perhaps, Connor. Mm. Perhaps.
Yeah. Mm. So
you know, it's a game of opinions.
To be honest, it's a bullshit team there, Alex. Really.
Yeah. Thanks, Connor.
Just, to be honest, I'm moving these.
You know, Connor, if I wasn't doing a PGC and training to be a primary school teacher, I would swear at you right now. I'd say loads of nasty things about you. And your hairline, and your sort of
slight overweightness.
I was gonna go with your that. You know, if the shoe fits, Connor, you can wear it. You know, I'm good with that.
Probably could do with losing maybe a stone or two.
Aye,
yeah. So yeah. Anyway, moving on to better things, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I've gone for 3-5-2.
Yeah. Different.
Yep. So I've got McLaughlin in goal, Dunn, Baldwin, and Flanagan as the back three.
Yes.
Got Matthews and Oviedo as wing backs. I've got McGeoch sitting. And then I've put O'Neill and McGeady almost as two number 10s, if you like.
Interesting.
Behind White and Maja. But then I think, like we kind of said earlier, you could have a 1-1. So if it wasn't White and Maja, it could be, I don't know, maybe put O'Neill behind Maja and have Honeyman where I've got O'Neill, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that's, yeah. So then I think that gives you a nice blend of going through the middle and playing out wide as well.
That's an interesting team. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of things I can criticise. Yeah. I would worry with that the midfield could get lost.
Yeah.
You know, I think because you're essentially just playing McGeoch.
It's quite attacking.
Yeah.
But then the reason I like the back three is because I think you could have one of the back three almost push up when we're on the ball.
Which would probably be Flanagan.
Yeah. Into a sort of centre, yeah, into a defensive midfielder. So he'd probably be the one in the middle, and then he could push up.
A little bit of fluidity.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
You get on your FM, 3-5-2, very fluid on your FM.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Flanagan would probably be the one in the middle, and then he pushes up when we're attacking to kind of cover with McGeoch for the counter attack. So we're not massively vulnerable.
Fair. I do worry about the wings. Mm-hmm. Probably see the thing I'd worry about, because I think if you go Oviedo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Matthews is your only right-hand sided player.
Mm.
But then I suppose your number 10s are going to have the ability.
They could come out wide.
Yeah.
O'Neill could come out on the wing. And then
sorry, lads.
Can go out on the left.
If I nip the loo now, will I make it back in time for the sign-off?
To be honest, I mean, I'm probably just going to sign off now.
Sorry, anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across.
That being said, if you go, maybe you can get a live update.
Honestly, I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know if there's any connection between Johnny's loo and the regular gents' loo.
There is no connection. No,
you can probably shout at him though.
Yeah, I was like, inside. Well, there's another thing where you put a cup up to the wall and then listen in. I can sort of communicate via that.
I think actually what might be good is maybe get Johnny to do a little recording on your phone to shout through the door, and then you can play the recording through the microphone.
Yeah, we'll have at least one opinion from Johnny on this pod.
You should go. Yeah, you should go. Get the recording. Have a wee. I presume you're going for a wee.
It's a wee.
Go there. Get your recording. Come back, and then we'll sign it off for good. And then we'll have to think of something to talk about for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, am I good? Yeah, am I good? Okay, right. Right. Okay, I'm off. We're off.
I'm gonna keep talking away from the mic.
Yeah, he's gone.
Indicates that I'm. Yeah,
he's further away.
So Man City on Tuesday.
Yes,
may as well talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Think we're gonna go strong team.
I hope so.
Makes sense to
you? I think so. I think we're so close to Wembley now. I think we should just go for it.
Feel it.
Exactly. You know, being positive, I think this is hopefully the one season we're in, the Chequer trade.
We're under 21s will be in next year.
Well, yeah. The first team, if you like, then. And I love the idea of us winning it, the one season we're in it, we're in this first season. Yeah, we just might as well win it while we're here. I hope we go strong.
So do you think... As well, Man City. It's interesting to see what they'll do because obviously they're playing Burton.
Yes, they weren't very happy about it, were they?
I think they've got an FA Youth Cup game as well.
Oh, do they?
On the Wednesday.
Right.
They've basically got three competitive games in 2 days.
Yeah.
Between all their teams. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sure they'll be fine.
I'm sure they will, but it'll be interesting to see whether or not which one they prioritise, because will he want his under 21s to play Burton to get that experience of playing a competitive game? But then also, how competitive is that Burton game when they've already lost 9-0?
And how really different is it? Because there's a chance that in the Chequer trade you could come up against Burton. So why is it massively different in the Carabao Cup? If it was if they were playing, then I suppose they wouldn't have won 9-0. But I was going to say if it was against
Premier League team.
But they beat
West Ham 6-0 a few years ago.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know.
That is suspiciously quick, Alex. You did not wash your hands.
I did. I just ran there and back. I'm really quick.
Oh, yeah. Lightning.
Mate, I got 56 minutes in the Sunderland 10K.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, show off.
Big flex.
I was going to say, nobody cares.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not that impressive, really.
Yeah. But Did you get a recording?
It was hard. All I heard was gentle weeping. I couldn't get much else out of him, I'm afraid.
Oh, fair.
At least it was gentle.
Yeah. There's worse kinds of weeping you could have.
Yeah. Definitely.
We've been talking about the Man City game, so we may as well sign off with a score prediction from everyone.
For the Man City game,
Alex, you shoot. Score prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 2-1 to Sunderland.
Oh, I was going to say that.
You can go the same.
You can.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 as well. But if you go strong team, then I'll go 3-1.
I think it's going to be an exciting one. I think we're going to win 4-2.
Oof.
Yeah, just throw that out there.
Be worth the £5.
Yeah, so
very much worth the £5.
Anything else before we sign off?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
that's probably mine.
Good debut. It was weren't expecting the debut.
No.
I think obviously last night we had the butterflies thing. It might happen. It could happen. You could get on the
pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a big thing to throw yourself into. You know, it's like when we subbed Quarters on for Revier in that
it's
derby game. You know,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
It's literally no different from that.
Like Kader Manyang. You played in one of the derby. So maybe I think you're more of a Kader Manyang.
Thanks, man.
To be fair, that board's better than Quarters.
Similar eyes.
Oh. You're coming on to me, Connor.
Good debut. You've done well. If you do like 5 podcasts, you get put in the group chat. So.
Sweet. Okay, 4 to go.
Connor will give you like your loyalty card after this. You can like stamp off this week.
Perfect. Very good.
Yeah.
I'm on 24.
Forward to it.
Yeah, Alex. Good.
Yeah, thanks for tolerating me again.
Are you on next week?
Might be, don't know.
It's Keith Downey next week.
Right.
Oh, lovely.
I'm going to make sure I shout like loads of abuse at him for the Sunderland fans. Yeah. Once he gets that on social media.
Yeah.
People claiming that he's a Newcastle fan, despite the fact that he's a thick Scottish accent.
A Scottish outspoken Hearts fan, but no, he's a mag.
Definitely a mag. I love that with all them though. It's like, definitely a mag. All the local news people are definitely mags. So that'll be fun. I'll see you then, Alex, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I, no game next weekend.
No.
Still working, though, still doing the podcast.
Mental.
And then we've got a Paul Hetherington podcast, which I recorded in like November that we haven't released. And Paul Hetherington, if you didn't know, his dad was the head writer for Sunderland of the Chronicle.
Didn't know that.
Yes, I think he was the first one. Then Paul took the role over so from his dad.
Interesting.
And then he ended up working for the Nationals. But he's the guy responsible for bringing Peter Reid to Sunderland.
Right.
He
well.
Broke at that move.
Wow.
And there's some interesting stories about Peter Reid in there.
I bet.
Potential returns since he left and all that. So there's a little tease to put in there. So thanks, guys, for coming on. And
very welcome.
It's not often. Oh, we've ran over an hour. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Blame your wee.
Yeah.
And pray for Johnny.
Pray for Johnny.
Some exchange betting companies run short-lived promotions, like month-long offers of low commission. At BetDak, we wanted to change the way we did things, so we set our commission at 2% permanently. That's 2% on football, horse racing, golf, almost any sport. 2%. That's just one way that BetDak is changing for the better. For the better. Like you. BetDak, the 2% commission exchange.
Over 18s only, please gamble responsibly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.